Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Benigno and Roberts here in the midday, and joining us right now, one of the greats. One of the greats of all time. You watched him last night call the Western Conference Finals Game 1.
Oh, God.
He was there with the great Reggie Miller and the not as great but still okay Chris Webber,
right?
To be fair.
Do you realize, Marv, I got to say this. We're talking, of course, the great Marv Albert. Do you realize the nights as a young guy that I had you on the radio listening the old days when Knicks would play Tuesday and Saturday night at the Garden? The Rangers would play Wednesday and Sunday night at the Garden, and I would have the radio on listening to you. I mean, it's unbelievable. I night after night after night, Marv.
It was overexposure, Joe, actually.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. But, you know, the advantage we had at the time, there weren't as many games on television, particularly with the Knicks. There were very few road games. This is just before cable came in, and at first – you'd have to actually be at a bar somewhere in Manhattan to get Manhattan cable. So we had a great advantage with radio. And with hockey, with the Rangers, there were very few games on. It's not like today where everything is being shown. It was kind of the Walter O'Malley theory when he first moved to Los Angeles with the Dodgers. He didn't believe in televising games. So it was strictly Vin Scully on the radio, and they did, I think, 7 or 8 televised games, for the most part, from San Francisco. So he thought that television hurt the gate, and it turns out now every team at every sport basically has every game on television, home and away.
Yeah, no question.
Can't imagine them not being on television. Yep. It's a big part of the game now. You know, as you sit there and watch a game like last night, the Warriors are incredible to watch. Do you like what this sport has become? Because I think last night we saw two of the new age teams. They do it a little bit differently. The Rockets obviously rely on a lot more isolation than the Warriors, who are passing every 2 seconds. As a guy who's seen it all, what do you think of this NBA that you watched last night?
Well, it's such a contrast in styles. It's ball movement. It's beautiful basketball on the part of the Warriors. Steve Kerr was, you know, greatly influenced by Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson and his college coach, Lute Olson. I think of the old Knicks or the Celtics, Lakers, that type of basketball. With Houston, it's too much dribbling. Not to say that they can't get back in the series, you know, it's one game, but it was a big loss for them because their whole season has been geared to beating Golden State, and I don't know if they believe they can beat Golden State. You see, you know, Harden dribbling. I mean, he had an unbelievable night with 41 points. And Paul also dribbles a lot. And they're constantly using the 24-second clock. There were 3 violations in the first half. They almost had a 4th. They're looking to set up against what they feel is the mismatch, Steph Curry, but they're so intent on that. Although Steph is not that bad defensively, I mean, he's not a great defensive player, so they'd rather go against him when you look at what's out there for Golden State, where you have such excellent defensive players and mismatches. Guys are so long, you know, like Durant and Green and Iguodala and Klay Thompson, who also is a very underrated defensive player. So it's a lot of dribbling, and over the course of a regular season when they win 65 games, they're able to do what they want for the most part. With the Warriors, obviously because they've won 2 championships, they've been to 3 finals, they have confidence. They were so locked in. I just seeing Kevin Durant before the game, and he's unstoppable. I mean, it's just he's unguardable, and the mismatches that they cause really hurt Houston. With the smaller lineup, but they're small, but they have great length. You know, so height doesn't necessarily matter. Although it's funny because Durant is still listed on the program at 6'9". He's definitely 7 foot.
Yeah, no question.
You know, it used to be in college, guys would list themselves taller than they are, you know, just for the pro scouts. He lists himself shorter, which is kind of funny, because then you go onto court and you see this guy, you don't really realize how tall he is. But you know, it's one game. We'll see what happens. But Golden State so clearly outplayed them in the second half.
Yeah, no question. You know, Marv, you say it's one game, but I'm always of this theory. And then look, it's not. It doesn't mean it's a foolproof theory. But you lose the first game at home when you got home court advantage, especially when you're losing to a team like Golden State, you're in big trouble in the series, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. It's tough when you lose that home game. And I know, you know, Steve Kerr obviously would have preferred to have the home court advantage. But then toward the end of the season when they had all their injuries, you know, they're basically saying it doesn't matter, and it probably did not. But he calls it appropriate fear, which is a term from Popovich, where he does not mind that his players are involved in discomfort. And being on the road for the first two represents that. You know, so he did not mind opening on the road, and as it turns out, you know, it looks terrific for Golden State, and they're tough to beat at home. They really are. Although, you know, Houston has the best home record in the West, but regular season is so different. You know, you can't. It's hard to measure up. Even people always go. They look back before the playoffs at the season series, which means, you know, nothing. Because
right, it's true.
You know,
exactly.
guys are injured. Yep. The games are played at different times. They could be coming off of four games in 5 nights. In the Houston Golden State situation, it was opening night. The game we did, it was the championship ring night, and the Rockets beat the Warriors. And then the other two games were early January, where Harden missed a game, Durant missed a game. It has no meaning at all. But
zero.
Every series. You know, they say, "Oh, in the season series, it was this," but it doesn't mean a thing.
Oh, when I think of season series, I think of when the Brooklyn Nets swept the Miami Heat, the LeBron's 4-0 in the regular season. That really did a lot of good when they lost in five.
And it felt.
I said this earlier to Joe, Marv. It felt like the Warriors for the first time didn't care as much about this regular season, and now in postseason time against the Spurs, the Pelicans, and now the Rockets, who they've heard so much about over the last few months, it's almost like that switch is really on for them.
Well, I don't know if they, you know, actually didn't care, because they were moving along, but they saw they were not going to achieve what they had in recent years. Then they had the injuries. Steph Curry was out. Iguodala was out. And I think that they realized that this was not important. Not that they would let down, but, you know, they accepted losses a bit more readily, because they knew that they'd be ready for the playoffs. And they've had a couple of surprises. This kid, Kevon Looney, who they could lose because of the salary cap, is a tremendous player, and you know, I know they want to try to figure out how to keep him, whether others take less money, but he was playing Harden. I mean, you know, and did okay. I mean, Harden's going to beat him off the dribble, but he's a terrific player, and they would like to keep him. He's 6'10", 6'11". He's been hit by injuries. He's a UCLA guy, but he's a surprise, and their bench is just loaded. I mean, they really are. I mean, even Nick Young comes in, hits three threes. The thing is, and JaVale McGee has played well during the course of the season against certain matchups. They're surrounded. These guys come in who may not have done much with other teams or could be problems at times, but they're surrounded by, aside from the fact that these guys have a high skill level, it's a really good bunch of players and a smart bunch, and you don't always get that on a team. So, and the coaching staff is great too. So, and it's light. It's kind of a light atmosphere, because, I mean, you know, knowing Steve from broadcasting for so many years, he's kind of a prankster, you know. So, and they get it. They kind of, it's kind of a loose, good sense of humor situation. Now, of course, you also have to be very good players. That certainly, you know, helps a lot, but it's like a perfect atmosphere. It's not all serious, you know. It's not crazed in terms of the way some teams, you know, some coaches might handle it.
Talking to the great Marv Albert. Marv, how about the East right now? Boston blows out Cleveland in game one. How about that series right now? How do you see that going?
Well, that I was surprised because I thought and LeBron is playing with probably since his early days with Cleveland the weakest team that you know he's been with, and what looked to be terrific pickups, the four pickups at you know the trade deadline have not you know come out to be what was thought to be you know at that point.
Right.
But I think they'll get back into the series. Boston has done an incredible job. When you think, even last year, they had only four players back from their previous season, and then you know Danny Ainge with all these great moves, and then Hayward gets hurt, and Kyrie Irving gets hurt, and you have these rookies who are amazing. You know, between Jaylen Brown, who developed within you know between his rookie and sophomore year, and Jason Tatum is just going to be terrific. And you wonder with Kyrie back, and of course Rozier is the biggest surprise of all, but with Kyrie coming back, you wonder how, not that that's their concern right now, but next year, how is his game going to affect what these other kids have been able to do because they've had the playing time? But as far as the series, getting back to what your question is, I never like to predict because I think predictions are crazy. I know with radio talk shows you have to do it. It's a good subject of discussion. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I just don't believe in it. But I would say that I would give the edge to the Celtics. I just think that LeBron will come out crazed tonight. He'll be very aggressive as he did in the previous series against, Indiana game. Major problems.
Yep.
They were the better team, and the Celtics have better players, but you have LeBron. So I could see that they'll tie it up tonight because I think LeBron will have a huge game, and I think it's wise to start Tristan Thompson. I don't know what that situation has been. They've never really said what the deal is, why Tristan Thompson wasn't playing. I thought he was a very important player for them over the year.
Well, I agree. We're talking to Marv Albert. The coverage tomorrow night will continue on TNT of Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals at 8 o'clock. You mentioned LeBron. He's the best player in the league. We all know it. The second best player in the league is Kevin Durant. And, you know, watching him last night, it wasn't just his offensive capabilities. It wasn't just his ability to get any shot he wants at any moment. How about his defense? I mean, Kevin Durant, I know he's got a lot of help. You know, when he takes it to the basket and defenders try to stop him, he can kick it out to Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. But he's impossible to defend. And himself, he's a great defender. He has blossomed into, to me, easily the second best player in the league.
He has become a better defender. He was a decent defensive player at Oklahoma City.
Right.
But I think just in the surroundings of the Warriors and Ron Adams, who is an assistant coach and is their defensive guy, I think has done a lot of good things with him, and he's taken advantage again of his length, and he blocks more shots than he ever has, and just his all-around game has picked up. I mean, he's an incredible talent. As I mentioned, I think he is just unguardable. When do you see a seven-footer have that kind of shot, you know, be it a three-point shot or even they shoot so many people forget how many mid-range shots they shoot. You know, they're known as a three-point shooting team, but they're very, very successful. Probably, I think, the best in the NBA at the mid-range shot. Mm. So Durant and even Curry are able to do that. But, yeah, Durant is now mentioned, you know, he made all-defense last year, and I think he'll be on the all-defensive team again. Klay Thompson, too, is so underrated as a defensive player, as another guy who you know, is a really solid two-way player.
Marv, I got to bring this up. I know they don't have any players, but what's your thoughts on David Fizdale coaching the Knicks?
Well, I've always heard great things about David. I know him a bit from his Miami days, but it's it's a very tough situation. I mean, you look at the roster. It's funny, we were talking last night with Steve Kerr. Yesterday was the anniversary of his signing. The official signing with the Golden State Warriors when he was considering,
right.
Supposedly considering the Knick job. The problem is they're no longer a destination. They have to show that they have players, and they're far away. I mean, with Porzingis, I think has been tremendous. I mean, in terms of the potential. But who knows if he's coming back? I mean, that's the other thing. And I don't know how – is he happy in New York? You know, there's just no signs of what his feel is about the Knicks. But I think it's overrated. And I know the Knicks have used this. So have the Rangers, and there's some other teams too. They feel they can develop players. Well, that – you may be able to get players who are good, make them better. But you can't suddenly just develop players. It's very, very tough. You can make guys a little better. They have some decent players who probably will get a little better. But you're not going to develop players to be a playoff team. I mean, you got to do more than that. I mean, it has to be wise decisions. It has to be very fortunate draft picks. You know, I would not bank on developing players, even though a good team can do that, you know, here and there. So even in hockey, I know they're talking college coaches, and there are some very good ones out there, but very few have done it in the NHL. Bob Johnson won a Stanley Cup a while back. You know, Herb Brooks had a degree of success, but there's a respect factor, and you see it in the NBA too, where if a guy comes in from college, and Brad Stevens is an unusual situation, he's a great coach, as he was at Butler, but usually it's very tough. I thought Pitino had actually a good year and a half with the Knicks, and then, you know, what happened? His profile took a hit with the Celtics because he was also making personnel decisions. But I think that it's very hard to gain the respect of players if you haven't played in the league, or if you haven't coached in the league for a long time with success, like a Popovich, you know, who did not play in the league but was a good player at Air Force. So I think, you know, with the Knicks, Fizdale could be the greatest coach in the world, but it's not going to be easy. And he's a great guy, well thought of, and, you know, you have to have the players.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question about it.
It's amazing to think that Steve Kerr was actually debating going to the Knicks or the Warriors. How much credit do you deserve for this, for leading up to the right place?
No, no. He knew, you know, he knew what he was doing. He talked to a lot of people, Steve, when and he was very close to Phil Jackson, and that's what was on his mind. I mean, he was Phil is one of his mentors, and, you know, it was between that, and then it was really, I thought it was really no decision for him, because, first of all, he's from the West Coast. You look at the two rosters, and you got to be kidding. That's number one. No, and the other thing is, his kids go to school on the West Coast. Yeah, he lives out there. It wasn't really a decision, but with Phil there, who he has so much respect for, and we're talking about Phil before we knew what was going to happen as a general manager, that it just didn't work out. So I didn't think it was a difficult decision for him at all. I mean, he knew what was going on around the league. So, and he liked the group, you know, at Golden State, and he made a couple of tweaks too. I mean, you know, they put Draymond Green in the starting lineup. They did a few things that really worked out well.
Yeah. It's painful, Marv. I tell you, Marv, it's painful being a Knicks fan. They are such a disaster. I mean, I look like 10 years from now, it's still going to be a disaster the way I see it, I got to tell you.
Well, you never, you know, things can, I don't know about that, but, I, you know, things can. You are a real pessimist.
How could I not? No, Marv, come on. They've been a disaster for 18 years. Ever since Van Gundy left, it's a disaster.
They had the one good year with Mike Wilson.
Right. One good year, right. They won 54 games, and then they lost to Indiana in the second round. They couldn't even get to play Miami in the conference finals.
You know, when Donnie Walsh was here and Mike Woodson, I thought they were kind of on their way to turning it, and then they made the trade, the Carmelo trade, you know, I thought just turned it back the other way, you know, as much of a scorer as he has been in the past. It didn't work, and I thought they had a very good group. That was the the deal involving when these guys were playing well, Gallinari and Wilson Chandler, and
right.
You know, and Raymond Felton,
played well. Stoudemire Moscow, was there.
Yeah, I mean those guys. And as that turned out, I mean Gallinari got injured. Chandler's had injury problems, and you know Felton did not pan out the same way. But I thought that was a good team, you know, and I thought Woodson had done a very good job, and you know, it made the playoffs, 50 plus wins. So that was their last successful season, let's say. So it's been a while.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt.
Marv, we'll be watching on TNT. We always appreciate you
Marv,
coming on.
Marv, always a pleasure, Marv. It always is.
All right, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Marv.
It'll be a fun series.
Absolutely. The great Marv Albert calling the Rockets and the Warriors. And by the way, that Melo trade, you know what made it worse? And sometimes you can't predict this, though. I'm an expert on this one. One of the pieces of that trade was a draft pick, and that draft pick turned into Jamal Murray, who looks tremendous for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Not to say you would have drafted him.
Well, they wouldn't have.
Great point. That's true. It's like me with Lillard. Lillard was a net pick. But the Nets going to draft Damian Lillard? Probably not.
Of course not.
But it just makes it look worse.
Hey, we got the lottery tonight to get excited.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Can't wait to see Scott
that you have that.
Scott Perry's looked when he goes to 11.
I wish you all the best.
Oh, I really do.
You're due to win, all right?
Yeah, well.
You're due to win.
Yeah,
I
do, all right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.